Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. It's simple, really. You either want to grow in virtue and holiness, or you want to be a sissy, whiny baby. If you choose to move forward, grab your whiskey glass, because the Catholic Man Show is starting right now.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. We tried streaming this one. Did not work.
We'll see.
Definitely did not.
Might start working. We got a comment already, so it might be working.
We unstreamed it on vMix.
You are right.
So it's not.
It shut itself down. Yeah. That was a short stream. Hey, thanks for the comment. I can't, your screen's too far away for me to see
who
you
are. We
don't
have Juan here, so. Anyway, welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here with David Niles. Shout out to the Catholic Man Show.
Giving a shout out to ourselves.
It's our eighth year.
Oh, yeah.
We're now 8 years in.
Is this it? Is this it?
Yeah, this is like it. Like when
no
this
kidding.
Comes out.
I thought it was May.
No, it's April.
It was the end of April. That's right.
It was April.
Okay.
So.
Sweet.
Which is awesome. 8 years in.
That is awesome.
So many things have happened in 8 years.
A lot of things have happened.
For us.
A lot of things are still the same. I'm still not independently wealthy.
Yeah. After trying ridiculously hard for the last 8 years.
I've been waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting for that to happen. It just hasn't happened yet.
We're still drinking whiskey on the
Turns
show.
Turns out you can't just wait.
That's another thing.
We are
Actually,
still doing
you can
that.
Do that.
Some, you know what? It does actually happen to some people. They just like...
You just put money in and you just wait.
Just like end up really wealthy.
Yeah. Yeah. This week we are drinking Barefaced Canadian whiskey.
We have not had many Canadian whiskeys.
Very... Less than five, I think.
I think you're right.
This is seven years. It's Barefaced because it's made in like Bear Country, British Columbia. 7 years, triple oak. I have.
It's really good.
It's a good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's a good whiskey, and it's cheap, $40.
I would have just said that's a bourbon. If you had put this in front of me, I would have said that's a bourbon.
Yeah. But it's really good.
It does have a lot of like sweetness. Got a lot of honey flavor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I like sugar, so.
Something else that has not changed about you?
No. And nor will it. A day will not come where I say, you know what? I changed my mind on sugar.
Just cheers. And happy birthday to
to
us. Show.
To the show.
Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, though, we are not with Juan today. Juan is Juan's moving.
He's moving. He's moving. Kind of a little bit far away. Not terribly far, but...
Just like 25 minutes or so.
Almost 30 minutes.
Yeah. So he's in the process of doing that, which obviously moving is one of the most stressful things I think a family can do.
He closed on his house today.
Today was the day?
Yeah. He actually did. It got postponed several times. Really, really happy for him. Also, he pulled off, like, for our listeners, this is like the new savvy way to buy a house, in my opinion. Juan is assuming the loan of the last guy who lived there. Okay, not all loans are assumable.
Right.
But basically, you're just like taking over the payments. You're not getting a new loan. You're just like taking the old guy's loan. It's like, hey, I'll take it from here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So conventional loans are not assumable, but FHA loans and VA loans are assumable. So if you are a veteran and you have a VA loan, that's something for you to be aware of. That's a big asset. Because if you have a 3 or 4, you know, even 4.5% mortgage, you could sell it in such a way where the guy just takes it over. That's worth a lot. So I would be willing to pay more
for that kind of interest. Yeah,
to be able to like interest loan. Yeah, to take over a low percent. Yeah. And so he was able to do that. Really, he's got 6 acres.
Yeah.
More, just over 6.5.
Yeah, very happy for him.
Yep.
Bummer for us. He's not going to be as close to us.
So the area he's moving into, though, there's a lot of...
good Catholic.
There's
kind of
like a... Yeah, there's a really a growing Catholic community out there.
Yeah.
In Sperry, Oklahoma.
And it's only going to grow with one and with the Posadas there.
Yeah.
Because one thing about the Posadas is they are really good at cultivating like people to come over and cultivating community.
They're also fecund.
They're also fecund.
In and of themselves.
Yeah. No doubt.
The reproduction rate is high.
Yeah. And Jim's not here. He's not feeling well. So prayers for Jim.
He's fine. Well. He's fine, but
he'll be all right. So the craziness.
I would like to know what the yummy scale is on this.
I think it'd be high.
It would be high. Yeah.
So the craziness of this week with the eclipse.
Yeah.
Tell us all about
Dude,
it.
Dude, yes. So I made kind of a last minute decision. In fact, after we had Father Sean O'Brien on the other day, and he mentioned that he's a priest down in Poto, and he mentioned, technically we are in totality. And, you know, that, also we're consecrating the whole county to Our Lady on the feast of the Annunciation. And like, man, I wanted to go. So we did. And I have to tell you, being in the totality was way cooler than I thought it was going to be. Like, I was expecting, like, hey, this is going to be cool. Like, it's going to get dark, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool. But actually, like, looking up in the sky and seeing the corona around, which you can just see within it. So when you're in totality, you can take your glass.
Up there?
Yeah, dude. The corona is like the,
man.
I don't know if penumbra is the right word. Don't even really know what that means. But that word is rising to the surface of my brain right now.
Okay.
But there's a shine around the edge of the sun that you can't see most of the time because it's so bright. But you can, when you're in the totality, you can take your glasses off and you just look at it and you can just see it. It was dazzling. It was truly awesome. And it, like, the next time that there is an eclipse, if it's within like driving distance, I am totally going again.
Wow.
It was so cool. In fact, I've been just like, I can't shake it out of it was just amazing.
Wow.
So I'm so glad I went. And we took the kids.
Yeah.
One of the perks of homeschooling is like,
you can just like load them up.
We did, Pamela does this thing called morning basket. I don't really know exactly what all. Basically, that part is we read the Bible and memorize poems. We just did that in the car on the way there.
There you go.
And man, the eclipse was so cool. Very awesome.
Nice. And the consecration happened?
The consecration. We went up on top of, in Poto, they have the tallest hill in the world. It's 1,999 feet. At least that's what the sign says.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that height, you can really get a good distance on a blessing, right? You get more.
Because that matters.
Right. You get a better trajectory from a higher elevation.
It's a line of sight kind of thing.
It's just physics.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody knows that.
Sure, sure, sure.
Consecrated the whole diocese to Our Lady up there.
The whole county, yeah.
The whole county, yes. Thank you. Which is cool. There were some other people up there just like looking.
Minding their own business and they get like consecrated.
Praying in Decade of the Rosary and... singing the Regina,
I love doing that.
The
though.
Regina Caeli and stuff.
I love like having outward expressions of our faith in public.
Yeah,
and seeing what other people do.
Yeah,
so very cool.
It was a great day.
Yeah, very cool. Everything going well with the farm?
All is well on the homestead.
Yeah, good.
Yes, cows continue to eat the grass. Pigs continue to want to be fed.
Sure. Yeah.
And
one thing we did this week is like on Divine Mercy Sunday, our fraternity of Exodus 90, you're and I fraternity of Exodus 90 and our dad's fraternity of Exodus 90, we all got together at your house and had a huge feast and had an Easter fire singing Regina Caeli around the fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so cool. Like you know, you go through something. This is the beauty of the feasting and fasting cycles, of the liturgical cycles, right? Like when you fast and it's difficult and you're exhausted and like you're ready to, you know, rejoice, and you get to sing hallelujah at Mass, yeah. and then you get a chance to feast with with your community, and you get to sing, and you get to drink, and you get to, like, you know, do all the things that are the finer things, like the things in which you desire to do as human beings in community.
Mm-hmm.
It means so much more.
Yeah.
And then you get to do it with not only the coolest thing that we have going for us, I think, with that whole setup is obviously, you know, at your house and, like, you have a great setup, but then also it's with our dad's fraternities, right?
Yeah, so that,
like,
was very cool.
It's multi-generational.
You know, especially for us, because, you know, we were in their fraternity last year. And so, like,
right.
we knew all those guys. And
right.
I think that one thing that we often miss in parties is song.
I totally agree.
So I would really encourage everyone, especially during this Easter season, to learn what is, like, the traditional Easter song. It's the Regina Caeli.
Mm-hmm.
It's very short. You learn it in Latin,
mm-hmm.
And then you can look at the English translation so you can see what it says. You know, the main crux of the matter is when he says, you sing Resurrexit, Sicut Dixit, which right. is, he is risen as he said.
Right.
Right. And then Alleluia, and you say Alleluia, like, kind of over and over and over again, but gathering around the fire, right, well, you know, an Easter fire, yeah. and singing the Regina Caeli, I thought that was just like
so beautiful.
Yes,
We posted the video on Facebook, so you can go check us out on Facebook and see the video, and hopefully that spurs you to do the same thing in your community as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
All right. When we get back, we're gonna talk about, like, ways like to become a saint. Things I wish that people had told me 10 years ago. How about that?
I like it.
After the penitential season of Lent, it's time to celebrate. Easter is the most important season of the church's liturgical calendar, but we often don't know how to celebrate it. We can rediscover Easter's festivities by extending it through the entire season. It's a full 50 days. I don't know about you guys, but normally the Minahans wake up Easter Sunday to find candy in the Easter baskets. We go to Mass, we maybe have a family dinner, but then it seems like everything goes back to normal the next day. But Easter is the greatest celebration of the Christian year. And with the octave of solemnities and a season of 50 days lasting longer than Lent, we should really be intentional about how we celebrate this. That's why I want to invite you to Easter 50 by Exodus 90. Go to exodus90.com and download the app. Easter 50 will help you take advantage of the entire Easter season as a time of festivity. Now we have the right occasion to celebrate and a community to celebrate it with our family and our fraternity that we've been establishing for over the 90 days. And all we need to do in addition is plan some times to feast and celebrate together. So if you are curious on how to do that, go to exodus90.com, download the app, and join us for Easter 50 as we are sons of the resurrection.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. 8 years in the making.
This episode right here, 8 years in the making.
This is our eighth. I feel a little underprepared.
On par with the Catholic Man Show.
Don't even have, like, a horn to blow.
Or a birthday cake.
Dude, we should have had a birthday cake.
Yeah. One thing we are going to do, though, the next couple of weeks are going to be awesome on the Catholic Man Show. We're going to have Dr. Alan Harrelson, the Pipe Cottage,
yeah,
in studio.
I'm excited about having him here.
And then we're going to also have a week from then, we'll have Father Bonaventure Chapman back.
Yes.
Which will be very interesting, very fun.
I can't wait to tell him that I still think he's wrong about modern art.
There's very few times in which you get to tell a Dominican, you know what, I think you're wrong.
Especially him.
Yeah, because he's, like, incredibly smart.
I've thought about it, and I still think you're wrong. Give me a good moment for me. So if you're listening, don't tell him that I'm going to say that to him.
Right. We want to catch him off guard.
Yeah.
Right. To give us every shot we have.
And then I'm going to be like, Father, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to move on.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, now, on to something else.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. We have a lot of really cool things coming up. Also, if you now's a great time to support the show. You can go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow. We have a lot of things going on. We still have a few more candles to give away from Ambrosian Candle Company.
100%
beeswax per candles, 10-inch tapered candles, for you and your family to pray with, to utilize in prayer. The first, you know, a handful more of $10 or more a month patrons, we're going to send them to you for free. So,
as a thank you.
So, on top of everything else that we do, like the whiskey glasses, everything else, so go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow. It helps continue growing our show. We're not keeping the money ourselves. We really would appreciate.
Maybe that's why we're not independently wealthy, because we don't keep any of the. Oh yeah,
I don't think that's the case. No. So tonight we're going to talk about some things that I really wish that somebody would have told me 10 years ago. When I was, you know, my mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
And this is all applicable for any age group, right? But I just wish I knew this earlier in my life, because it would have helped me and prepared me to be a better husband, to be a better father. If you're hearing this for the first time, it's going to help you be prepared to be a better grandfather, godfather. I mean, to have a better, well-ordered life. So that way you can be the man that the Lord has called you to be and live out your vocation in a truly, in a way that is, that the Lord is calling you to do.
Yeah. Sort of I know what you mean. And please God, I will in 10 more years have an even better understanding of this, but just a sense of what are the essential things.
Right.
Specifically in my spiritual life, in cultivating that relationship with God, how to have peace in that relationship, because I think that a lot of people they're trying really hard, they're like kind of working to have a relationship, to like live the Christian life, but they don't feel like they have like peace in that relationship. You know, it's like, I mean, I think a good example would be other just relationships you have with other people where you feel like you have to just put in a lot of work to maintain this relationship.
Right.
And it doesn't just seem to gel, right? It's like, I'm trying really hard for this relationship to work. You know, and so I think a lot of people often feel that way about their spiritual life, where they're trying and trying and trying, but it just doesn't, they don't have a whole lot of peace about it. And I get that. So, yes, and like I said, in 10 more years, I believe that I will have even a better understanding. I'll look back at what I have to say today and be like, yeah. But really, it's that, you know, so.
Sure, yeah.
So you got to keep listening to The Man Show for another 10 years.
Yeah, so the first thing it is this is something that really resonated with me when we were talking with Jeff Cavins.
Yeah.
And you asked him, and I can't remember, I didn't even go back and listen to the episode. By the way, that discussion that we had with him
was excellent. It was excellent.
One of my favorites that we've done in a long time.
Gosh, Jeff Cavins is so... I just like have appreciated. We've got to meet him a handful of times and like spend some one-on-one time with him.
Yeah,
and I have been just so impressed with him. He's like a grandfather to me.
Yeah,
like
he's so great. But I don't remember. I don't remember if we said this in the episode or not. But you asked him, and tell me if you remember.
Uh-huh.
Like you have a prayer life with our Lord, but like how do I like not get stagnant in this whole, like, I'm doing all the meditations, like, I'm doing meditative, like, but I'm not really, sometimes I feel distracted, I feel tired, I feel, you know, all these other things, and, like, how do I, like, make sure I'm with him?
Yeah. Yes.
And grow in my spiritual life.
Yes.
Did you say this in the episode?
No, that was on our, just interview with him after at the men's conference the other day. Is that what you mean by the episode?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I did ask him that. The question I asked him was about, like, I want to have this relationship where I'm, you know, aware of his presence more because he is present to me and I just am absent-minded by nature and I just will go through my whole day without thinking about him ever.
Right.
Not because I don't want to think about him. I just am busy doing the things I'm doing, you know, and he said, well, you have to act like he's real. essentially, that like,
right,
just really think
like,
about,
do you believe he's real?
Do you believe that? It, like, and literally, he said that he will actually talk to him, like, out, like whisper, almost like he's talking to himself,
mm-hmm.
a lot, and he still does, as if like Christ is just right here with him, like, just like your imaginary friend.
Yeah.
You just kind of think about it that way, that, oh, you know, as you're walking through this door, he's here with you, and like, make room for him physically.
Right.
And mentally, and like, just really imagine. This is why imagination is so important, which I know we're going to get to today.
Right.
Like, as a man, you have to have a well-formed and well-cultivated imagination. And if you don't, your prayer life will suffer.
Which is why it's so important to avoid any sins that are against the sixth and ninth commandment, right? Because it corrupts your imagination. But one of the things that I have just really been doing, and this is also the fruits of praying Compline with my family since through Lent, is one of the prayers in there is like, convert me, O Lord. And I've just taken that. And as I'm walking into the gas station, convert me, O Lord. As I'm, you know, as I'm going to the gym, convert me, O Lord. I say that all the time now, and like thinking, and it puts me into his presence, and I become more aware of the people around me and the opportunities that I may have just to make that person's day, or just to make them feel like somebody is paying attention to them.
Yeah.
And there's been so much fruit from just that simple thing. That's just such a simple thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, as you're going, I do this all the time, going into the gas station, the gym, like I said, the grocery store, all the things, the mundane things that we have to do throughout the day, as I'm walking in, convert me, O Lord, convert me, O Lord, convert me, O Lord. Like, where do you want me to be? Like, how do you want me to be focused? Like, mm-hmm. where do you want me to be focused on? Like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do here?
Yeah.
And, inevitably, like almost without fail, it's like, oh, somebody dropped something over here and I would not have even paid attention, but now I am, and now I can go help. I can pick that up for them, or I can open the door, or I can, you know, just smile at somebody, or I can just do something.
Yeah.
And again, so the first thing that we're going to talk about is just begin with God. This is very simple. This is a very simple thing, but we're always desiring, we should always be desiring to be converted, to have always, a deeper conversion for the love, for our love for him.
Mm-hmm. That metanoia.
Right.
With the, you know, constant conversion.
Right. And I just, like, when he told me that, I was like, I'm gonna start doing it. And I made it an intentional decision. I'm going to start doing this. Mm-hmm. And it has definitely changed the way I...
It totally will. I still struggle to remember to do it. But I remember sometimes, you know, one thing that I try to do in my house, and the kids are a lot better at it than I am, is the constant sign of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, anything I can to refocus my mind on the heavenly aspect of everything, whether you're doing the dishes. Like, the rule is, and I truly am the worst at remembering to do this in my house, is that before you do anything, your chores, your homework, before you begin a new subject in school, before you make another phone call at work, before you respond to another email, literally everything, just make the sign of the cross constantly.
Mm-hmm.
As a way of offering the thing you're about to do to him. And that it has a way of helping you to do a better job also. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, it's something I have to do. I have to type this email. But now, because I make the sign of the cross first, now all of a sudden, I want to write that email like the best I can. You know, I want to do the best and be the best person, right? Because if this is an offering, I don't want it to be a sham, you know.
Or low-level offering.
Right, exactly. I want it to be the best I can give him.
Right. Will you reach over and grab that little booklet right there? Yeah. This is from Tan, and we're going to pull a lot of this from this little book. It says 25 Ways to Become a Saint from Tan. It's very, very short. But when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about, as we begin with God, one of the importance is to rise early. And St. Vincent says, remember that the Christian life is one of action, not of speech and daydreams. Let there be few words and many deeds, and let them be done well. We'll be back.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the great, the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Talk about things that we wish that we would have known or thought about 10 years ago. And things that we're continually trying to think about on a day-to-day basis today. Talk about how to begin with God, the importance of having a conversation with God throughout the whole day. And it begins in the morning. It begins to start your day off, you know, dedicating and consecrating that day, the gift of being able to wake up again and serve him yet one more day to grow his kingdom here on earth, and like to do that for him.
You have to start with prayer. Yeah. Every day of your life until the day you die needs to start with prayer.
One of the things it says, we're pulling a couple of things from this 25 Ways to Become a Saint from TAM Publishing. It's just this little bitty booklet. Highly recommend it. I don't know. It's like $3 or $4. Very well worth it. But it says in here, nothing can be more thoroughly in opposition to a well-regulated Christian life than late rising. For which reason, never allow sloth to get the better of you, but rise early and dress yourself diligently and modestly, remembering the presence of God.
That is so true. I mean, this is so true. I have found this. There have been a couple times in the last few months where I, for whatever reason, for various reasons, have had to go to bed very late. And so, like, oh, you know, I still want to sleep for 7 hours if I can. Mm-hmm. And if I have the opportunity, it's like, oh, tomorrow's Saturday, you know, I can, you know, so if I go to bed at midnight, I'll wake up at 7. But it throws off my whole day because by the time I get up and start praying, the kids are awake, things are louder. Takes me longer to pray. It just goes poorly, you know? And it all comes down to having the discipline to go to bed on time. And it, as I think about those days where that happened to me, the truth was I could have gone to bed. I didn't want to, right? I just didn't have that discipline to say no to the thing, you know, like, oh, I wanted to stay up and do whatever or
have me time.
Yeah, exactly. Me time. I wanted me.
Right.
But
the Christian life is not about me.
It's not about me. And the getting up early is not hard. The hard part is going to bed early.
Yeah.
Because if you go to bed at the right time, you can get up at any time in the morning, you know? And that's the challenge.
And I like this is one that's very tough for me because I can easily become a slave of the pillow. Like I enjoy sleeping. If I had my way, so to speak, I would sleep until 9 every day.
Uh-huh.
Like easily. You know, and or at least, you know, lay in bed till 9, you know, maybe wake up at 8 or whatever, you know, and just kind of lay around in bed. Like I could become a slave of the pillow so much, but this is
open a beer.
But this is very much the manifestation of an understanding of how grace perfects nature, right? Because the opportunity, because naturally your body wants to have sleep,
yeah,
right, and you want to be able to sleep for a certain amount of time, just 7 hours, 8 hours, whatever it is that you need for your body to function well,
yeah.
If you do that from a natural perspective, you are more in tune with the grace that the Lord wants to give you throughout the day because you have the ordered life is easier to do because you're not as tired.
Yeah, your body has requirements. You and you need to satisfy those requirements.
Right.
If you're tired, you're not going to be able to pray.
Right. Or pray well.
Or pray well. Right. I mean, the body is an essential thing. There's a episode of The Chosen. I forget. It's like one of the earlier episodes. One of the apostles says, like, oh, is your body? They were like discussing, is the body really that important? One of the apostles says, like, see those that bush of poison berries? Go eat 10 of those berries and then tell me how well you can pray. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that's a great point. You know, like, he really proved the point to everybody that if your body isn't healthy, then your mind isn't healthy, your soul isn't healthy. It's all together, right? Because we're not a body and separate from a soul. Right. We're body-soul composites.
Right. So you have to give yourself the disposition to be able to receive his grace well.
However, you also need to be able to, you also need to be responsible to rise at the appropriate time.
Right. And you have to sacrifice your flesh, right? You have to say, like, this is the importance of also working out, because like there's times you don't want to work out, but you still have to do it anyway. You say like, nope, mentally I'm going to do this. Like, this is something that I'm just going to do.
Yeah.
And like you say that you deny yourself these little things throughout the day, you know, throughout your life, throughout the week. And those habits become ingrained to where you're like, yes, of course I would love to just lay in bed for just 30 more minutes. But that's not what I'm doing. That's not the option.
Right.
It's to get up and go.
Right.
And I love the second half of this where it says, but rise early and dress yourself diligently and modestly, remembering the presence of God. I love this because it's like it brings in the virtue of decorum, like the importance of like having the virtue of decorum is the virtue which steadily disposes the person to regulate his external conduct so that it is well ordered, fitting, and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think men, by and large, think about dressing modestly. And obviously, modesty for a man is something completely different than it is for a woman. But we certainly are called to, and there are, just go out in public and you will, in short order, if you're looking for it, find a man who is dressed immodestly. What I mean by that is like, you'll find somebody who's dressed in a way that is like clearly just drawing attention to themselves. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's an expression of vanity ultimately. And we need to avoid that, right? Are we like overly concerned about what brand it is on the sunglasses that we're wearing, or the hat, or the tie, or you know, the
whatever
shoes?
Yeah, like the watch, whatever it is.
Right. Not to say that name brand thing, we can't own name brand things, but if we're owning them simply because of the brand, that's disordered. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now maybe that particular brand really does make a better product, and that's why you're buying it. Okay. But you need to like have an honest conversation with yourself about that. It's like, am I buying this because it's going to facilitate, it's going to help me achieve something, right? You know?
And this has been a really tough part for me as I've been working from home as well, right? Because I can get up, I can have my prayers, I can go work out, I can come back, shower really fast, get the kids off to...
Or not.
Or not.
Or
not.
Or
get
Adam,
the kids off.
Or not.
Right, get the kids off. And then I could just kind of like throw a t-shirt on and start working. Paul Harvey, who was a brilliant broadcaster, a radio broadcaster back in the 50s, 60s, all the way up, I think, into the 90s, he always wore a suit and tie. And he's a radio broadcaster.
Uh-huh.
Somebody came up to him and asked him, like, well, like, Paul, no one is seeing you. No one looks at you. You're on radio.
Yeah.
Why are you wearing a suit and tie? And he said, The way I do radio, the way I broadcast, I can tell the difference when I'm not prepared. And that includes my notes, that includes the way I'm dressed, the way I prepare beforehand in all facets.
Mm-hmm.
And I come professional, I'm a professional, and I come here to be a professional.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is a tug that I have of working from home.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I could easily just throw on a hoodie and no one would know.
Right.
Until we do video calls or whatever. But like, no, I should have the decor. Like, I have holy work ahead of me, and I should dress appropriately to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you wear a suit and tie, you will notice that your posture is better. Yeah. It's just, first of all, if you have a jacket on, And if it's well fitted and well tailored, it's hard to slouch because the jacket kind of like tugs at you if you slouch over. It kind of makes you keep your shoulders back and you sit up straight. And all of a sudden, because you regulate your posture, it regulates your mind. Okay, this is something that Brandon Sheard, the meatsmith guy, who's been on our show before, he talks about when you control the body of an animal, you control its mind, okay? And so when we were slaughtering a sheep, first thing he would do is like catch it and then lay it on its side and hold it down. And all of a sudden, it became very calm. Because if a sheep is running, the fact that its body is running makes its mind go crazy, okay? So you see, like, if you could just physically stop it from running, all of a sudden, oh, its body is calm, and so its mind just became, it was amazing just to watch that.
Right.
And the truth is, we also have that same relationship.
Right.
Right? So if by, you know, wearing a suit and tie, just, you know, if it's the right moment, appropriate, it does it. Like, your posture is better. All of a sudden, it, like, you're, because you're sitting up better, you're thinking better. I mean, there's all kinds of things, like your blood flow is better, and it, all of a sudden, you are just able to be a better person for whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're mowing the yard, like, don't wear a suit and tie.
It'd be hilarious.
Obviously.
Right.
Unless it's, maybe that's your mowing suit.
Yeah. but so let me throw this at you, because like decorum, like I said, as we defined it, it says like to regulate its external conduct so that it is well-ordered, fitting, and beautiful.
I love that.
Which is so, yeah, I do too. It's something that I've decided to do during my like one of my holy hours for the week is kneeling the whole time.
Mm, I like it.
Because, and it's not because like I want to. I definitely don't want to. It's not something that I enjoy doing for an hour long, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that it is fitting, and it orders me to remember what I'm doing, because I'm a guy who is constantly distracted in prayer. So if my body posture is not ordered towards a prayer, like what I'm supposed to be doing in prayer, then I can easily, quickly fall out of like my prayer life.
An hour is gone and you realize like I was thinking about work and stuff.
But by kneeling the whole time, it continually draws me back to him, knowing and reminds me I am actually praying. I should like...
It helps, right.
It brings me back to him.
Right, it is an aid. It won't like all of a sudden make your prayer great, but it will help. First of all, help
posture
you
from, matters.
It'll help you from falling asleep.
Yeah.
It's hard to fall asleep when you're kneeling.
I mean, in the Screwtape Letter, C.S. Lewis talks about, like, you know, with Wormwood, and he says, like, make sure to tell him, like, it doesn't matter how you sit to pray.
Right.
That's one of their, it's one of the tricks.
We'll be right back with the rest of the story.
Nice.
Is this four? Good. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about things Adam wishes he knew 10 years ago.
Without a doubt.
We were just talking about decorum on the other side of the break. You know, there's really just so much to say about decorum that I have become more convinced of over the years. Also, I just want to point out that decorum, this virtue of decorum, which is like ordering your manner and your dress, which is fitting to the occasion, is also something that makes sacred the things that you're doing. Okay, so I think a great example of this for women is when women veil when they go to church. Okay, I'm sure there's a lot of different reasons why women wear veils.
There's at least two.
I can tell you why my wife and my daughters do it. And it is specifically for that they only wear a veil in the sanctuary before our Lord, right? So Lady Pamela, when she goes to Mass or if she goes to adoration, and it's a sacred thing. It's like, oh, this is something that I only wear before the King of the universe. And so when she wears it, it like helps her, like it's a constant reminder of that, like, oh, I'm here before him, right? Because it's this, the veil is, it makes sacred, because the word sacred means to set apart, right? And so by decorum, we make sacred the things that we do. One of the things we talk about in the book that we wrote with our wives,
Yes. Living Beyond Sunday.
Making your home a holy place. Is about the rooms in your house, okay? And the fact that you would have a room, a dining room, that's only for dining. A room that is set apart for dining makes dining sacred. Because it's like, oh, the eating to us coming together to share a meal is so important. We made a room where that's all we do, okay? Yeah. And so having things set apart in your life is it's a natural sacredness, okay? Mm-hmm. And so by dressing up for Mass, even if that's, and especially if that's the only time you wear a suit, mm-hmm. It makes sacred your body.
Yeah.
It sets apart your body for the sacredness of the activity, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the point of decorum, is that you would, as an outward expression, make, set things apart in their proper place, in the proper way, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the importance of that virtue, which is so overlooked, I think, most of the time, because our culture has become increasingly more casual all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a brevity to the casualness of modernity, which I can appreciate, okay? That it's like, all right, fine. Sides to every coin, right? But we lose something. Mm-hmm. When we lose something when we do that.
Without a doubt. Yeah. So the next one I want to talk about, like, we've talked about rising well, you know, getting up early,
yeah,
and starting your day off well. Then the other one is resting in Christ, sleeping well. And, like, by falling asleep in the midst of pious thoughts, like, it allows you to sanctify even your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I've just recently started trying to do, because I used to be, you know, years ago, I used to be my wife and I would watch The Office until we basically fell asleep. We mm-hmm. had a TV in our room. We don't, obviously, anymore, but...
You've moved on.
We've moved on.
You've grown.
Yeah. We don't have a TV in our room anymore, but that's what we used to do, right? And I have gotten into a habit of listening to audiobooks, falling asleep. Because my mind races a lot.
You have gotten into it, or you had gotten into it?
I still fight this.
Okay.
Because I have a desire to still do this.
Okay.
Because my mind races, like my mind, like when I finally rest, like, and lay down, this is the time that my mind starts deciding to like, oh, hey, don't forget you have to do this. And like, I start, my adrenaline starts running again. Because
does it help if you write them down?
No.
It doesn't?
I've tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes me like think about them even more. Because writing actually makes me think about the thing even more. It doesn't let me let it go.
Yeah.
It makes me contemplate it even more.
Mm-hmm.
But what made me realize the importance of this is when I was really struggling actually with some sins that like were just gripping me, like was just putting a stranglehold on me, like proverbially, like on my throat of my spiritual life, right, where it was just suffocating me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struggling with it. The days in which I made sure to listen to holy things and think about holy things, I did not struggle near as much with those sins, mm-hmm. right? So on my way to work, if I pray the rosary and then maybe listen to a talk by Father Mike Schmitz or, you know, somebody else that made me a thought-provoking holy thing, it like stuck with me right throughout the day, to where I wasn't thinking about other things. And so at night, this is something that also can creep up on you, right? Like as you're finally laying down, you start thinking about like, oh, so-and-so did me wrong here. Or, oh, I can't believe they did this to me.
I'm gonna get that guy.
Yeah. Or, you know, I can't believe the news said this, or, you know, like whatever it is that can cause you distraction and pull you away from your peace, pull you away from like what our Lord.
Yeah. You're still worried about what Nancy Pelosi said.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. 10 years ago, 40 years ago. I don't know, however long she's in office. But like the more that we can, this is the beauty of what Compline has done for us as we prayed Compline together as a family, is that it has really ordered us towards, like, as we chant the songs, or sometimes we chant, sometimes we don't. But like as we go back and forth with the Psalms, it orders our mind and thoughts towards the higher goods, the heavenly realities.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go to bed, then I'm actually thinking about, oh, Psalm 117. Like, I haven't thought about that. You know, like, it orders me to a peaceful sleep so you can even sanctify your sleep, which I think is incredibly important. Like, right, a third of our day is sleeping. So if this is a total Catholic hack.
It's a lot.
Total Catholic hack. If you can sanctify a third of your day, you're doing a great job.
I do always do that. I always, when I lay it down.
This is like, but you're a narcoleptic. It's a very short sleep.
It's a very short period of time.
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't. If it were longer, I would still do it. But yeah, I will always lay down and in conversation with our Lord, like do a brief review of the day. And then just kind of like pray until I fall asleep, which is like 20 to 40 seconds.
Right. St. Augustine says this. He says, in all my difficulties, I never found anything so efficacious, which is impressive, right? This is St. Augustine, right?
Yeah.
I never found anything so efficacious as the wounds of Christ. In them I sleep secure. From them I derive new life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forget who the Pope was who said, you know, he would like at the end of the night say, it's your church, Lord. Your
23rd. John the 23rd.
John the 23rd. Yeah, that's who it was. You know, that kind of reminds me of that a little bit. And anxiety is something a lot of people, I think especially men, I feel like men really have a kind of a proclivity towards it. But trying to develop that attitude, I know it's one thing to say it and then like actually doing it's, it is just it's totally hard. It's just totally different.
Right.
But it's something that you can practice and work at and over time
again
get better at.
Grace perfects nature, right?
Yes.
So the more you can grow this in a natural aspect, the more that grace can kind of grace bomb you and allow the Lord to work on you.
And the more you know Christ, the better the easier this will be to actually say like, oh, well, you know what, Christ? Actually, the things that I'm worried about, like, you're going to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you will, because I've been worried 1,000 times that you wouldn't, and 1,000 times you did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, every single time, you always have cared for me. You've always taken care of me. And so eventually, I think you can get better at really turning those things over, like the things that you're anxious about. Anxiety is a spiritual problem. I think it can also be a natural problem. You know, I think it's one of those things, but, there is absolutely a spiritual side to it.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That needs a spiritual solution. As well as maybe a natural solution.
Mm-hmm. The next one I want to talk about is like avoiding idleness.
Mm.
This is something that I felt like I have fallen into and I still struggle with at times, you know, like I catch myself easily doing this. And we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but the me time, like, oh, I've been so busy. I just wanted to like sit and do like whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
And like, this is again, the devil's playground. This is when like the opportunities for sin arise time after time, right? Is like idleness, like St. Benedict talks about how idleness is the enemy of the soul. And this is the importance of the ordered life to me, right? Is like, if you have an ordered life, you don't really have idleness. You have intentional leisure. You have intentional work time. You have intentional prayer time. But you don't have idleness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the danger of social media. This is the danger of email. This is the danger of text messages.
Yeah.
Because all of these things can yield itself towards idleness. And some of them are geared towards that specifically. And this is something that you have to be aware of.
YouTube shorts.
Right. This is something you have to be aware
of. Entertaining as they can be.
Because if you are aware of it, then you can be in the battle. If you're not aware that you're in the battle, you're going to lose every time.
A perfect example about this. This is something I've had to battle with like in the past. And then once Exodus 90, it's like no movies, okay? I like movies.
You're a movie guy.
I like it, yeah. And then Exodus 90 is like, okay, no problem. No movies ever. So it's easy. But just recently, I did this again. It's like, this is my lunch break. I'll put on a movie, during my lunch. As if, like, I'm only going to watch it for 15 minutes. Give me a break. And then, like, an hour or more goes by, and I realize, like, I'm not getting stuff done.
Right.
This is destroying my day, you know? And it's like, how many times, Dave? How many times?
The flesh is weak. Hey, we're out of time on Catholic Radio. Go check us out on our podcast, thecatholicmanshow.com. We're going to continue. We have about 4 or 5 more We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Yeah, idleness is just such an enemy.
It is. And like, it's just like I caught myself doing this again. And it's like, Dave, what's wrong with you? You know, and it's I remember it's like, oh, well, it's Easter. Like, yeah, I'll just, while I eat my chicken nuggets, I'm going to like, I'll just put a movie
on. What
are
you, like seven?
Dude, Tuesday, chicken nugget day at my house. Okay. Pamela's not there. So there's no one to make me lunch. So I have chicken nuggets. I have an air fryer, which is great for chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
It's what I do.
Okay.
I will put as many chicken nuggets as I want into that air fryer. And I like get down with some barbecue sauce.
I know. I came over the
you
other
know
day.
What? You know what? No sides. Only chicken nuggets.
No one has time for sides.
Who has time for like sides? Unless it's chips and dip. Okay. It's like, oh, we got some jalapeno artichoke dip. Yeah. Okay, we're having a side today.
Throw some wheat thins with that. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. So I will have a side.
Right. Yeah. But yeah. So the next one I want to talk about. So we talk about idleness. The next one I want to talk about is courage.
Okay.
Fortitude.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I've incorporated into my prayer life that I try to do every day is I ask the Lord to have the wisdom to know his will, the fortitude to carry out his will, and the diligence to see it through. And like, because it's not enough to even know his will, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not enough to do, like, and, no, yeah. And like half the time or more.
Knowing it is a big step.
All right, that's what I'm saying. Like half the time or more, as fallen human beings, we are just trying to reunite ourselves with his will.
Right.
Because we keep messing up and falling away from his will. And then once you know his will, you have to have the courage to do his will.
Yeah. That's where real sin happens, is like in the moments where you know his will and then you fail in the courage or fortitude. You fail to actually do it. I mean, that's...
Because a lot of times
that's what you call sin.
Because a lot of times his, like, when you see his will, you don't foresee it being better.
Right. You don't believe in it, or you don't trust
right.
it. Right. Or I have had moments. I've had actually like there was an example that I've shared this story before, but of like profound. It was like one of the profound moments of prayer in my life where I had this just notion I couldn't shake it. I felt like I was afraid that the Lord was calling me into full-time ministry, which now I know that, like, you know, just like knowing my temperament better, knowing who I am, it's like, I would have been terrible. But, like, I would have been bad at full-time ministry. But at the time, it was something I was really worried about. And because, you know, here I have this job that, like, really good job, and, you know, a family, and like going into full-time ministry, like I realized this, like, man, we're probably gonna have to make huge lifestyle changes. And
because we're not Matt Frad.
I mean, I'm not Matt Frad.
Yeah.
In many ways. It's like, I don't know. He actually might. Do I have more hair than Matt Frad? Is he bald? Is he balding?
No.
He's not balding?
He's balding.
He's balding? You know, he's got longer hair than me. I don't know. Next time I see him, I'll be like, hey, let's see who has more hair. But the thing is, I was really afraid. And I finally, in adoration, had this moment where I confronted the Lord and told him, like, where it was kind of like a moment of realization that, oh, I'm afraid of this. And I just came out honestly and said, Jesus, look, here's the deal. I'm afraid that you're calling me to quit my job and go full-time ministry. The thing is, I don't want to do that. That's a sacrifice that, like, that's can be really hard. And I told him,
I like the easy sacrifices.
I do. I mean, I don't like hard things. I do many hard things, but I don't like go out of my way to find them, you know? But I told him that. I said, I'm afraid that this is what you're calling me. And but then I said, but if that's what you call me to, I know that you will give me the grace and the strength to do it. And in this moment, I'm saying yes. And it instantly went away. Like, it was
the tougher part.
It was
though,
just I. He the
tough
thing
part
was,
is whenever you do that, and then you realize, yeah.
Well, the thing is, in the moment, I was signing up. I wasn't just saying like, hey, I'm going to like front like I'm signing up, because that doesn't work on Jesus, right?
Because he knows your heart better than you.
I was signing up, and then it went away, okay? Right. But the thing was, and that I've learned since then, is that he wanted me, it wasn't about going into full-time ministry, quitting my job and all this. It was like, hey, Dave, I can tell your heart isn't fully with me. I want your heart.
Yeah.
I don't want your job. Yeah. No. I just want you. Yeah. And you're not all the way here, bro.
Yeah.
And I need you. I want you.
And I think, but I think the next the courage times two is like when you get to that point and you say, yeah, I'm signing up. And he says, thank you. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Because now it's what, again, you're signing up. But now you have to go do it.
Yeah, so in that moment, I was signed up. The thing about courage and fortitude is that you have to you have to see it through, okay?
Right.
Because there's a lot of times in my life, and like this is just something that happens where you, yep, I'm in, and then when it comes down to it...
It gets hard.
Right, exactly. You chicken out at the last minute, right? Yeah. And then you're racked with guilt and grief. And
right, because how many times have you signed up for it and be like, yep, I'm all in. And then whenever it comes to it, you fold like a lawn chair.
It happens, yeah.
Yeah. The next one I think this is one that I don't do well, is suffer in silence.
I don't do this at all.
I just do not do
it. I'll just tell you, I don't do this at all. Okay.
But to be fair... Your life, you don't have a lot of suffering.
I don't have a lot of suffering. Yes, and I've told you. This is actually something I've been worried about for a long time. That I've sought spiritual advisors to be like, hey, I'm really kind of worried. I don't have very many crosses in my life. Because that seems like a bad sign, right? And every time I talk about it with somebody, I get so frustrated because the people are like, well, maybe you're just the kind of disposition who readily accepts your crosses and you just don't think much about them. And it's like, no, stop. No. Stop it.
No, because when I want to eat ice cream and I can't, I complain about it.
Okay. Here recently, I'm not going to go into the details about this, but there was a situation where my reputation was being put at stake for something I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect, not that I was, I felt like the things I did to handle the situation were the right things to do. However, I was disappointed with my own anxiety over the situation. You know, my concern, internal concern.
Mm-hmm.
I was very disappointed that, once again, this is not something that, it was like, how many times is like, oh, your reputation at stake? It's kind of a...
All the time.
Well, whatever. But not for me.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, I don't know. Every day for me.
I mean, somebody had made a report to people that I do business with and to people involved in the church that I had said something that I didn't say. They had just... It was no malicious... It was right. They misinterpreted what I had said and...
Right.
Doesn't matter. Everything was cleared up in the end, and it was not a big deal. But I was I wish I could go back and then just not be so worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But
and resign. And just, it was an opportunity I had to resign.
To be worried about it, but I think it's more of an embrace of the worry, right? It's I don't think it's natural to say I just wish I wasn't, I would suppress this natural inclination to be worried about it. It's no, it'd be better if you just say yes, I'm very worried about this and I want to offer this up to you, Lord.
Right. I would rather say, you know what, I am worried about this and Jesus, I trust in you. And so now I'm just not going to worry about it.
Right, because ultimately when we get to the our judgment day, the Lord, everything is going to be revealed.
Yeah.
And the Lord is going to know our hearts and know these are the times in which you were doing this for me and this is the times in which you were doing this for you. Right? And this is what St. Bernard of Clairvaux talks about. He said God must be our first love. And in order for one's neighbor, we have to love our God, love God first. Right. In order for us to love our neighbor, we actually have to love God first.
Right.
And like when that person did you wrong, you know, in order to love them, in order to like will their good, you have to first love God.
Sure. Oh, definitely.
Right. And so
in order to love your in order to love the people who do you right, you still have to love God.
It's just like this natural inclination. Like, again, it goes back to like your natural desires to want to. Everybody wants to be loved. The thing is, everybody wants to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to be loved. I want to be loved. Like, we have this natural desire to be loved.
Yeah. The thing is,
and like when we did, hold on. Let me.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
So like we have this natural desire to be loved. And when we disorder that love, this desire to be loved from somebody else before God, that's when the disorder happens, right? It's like, oh, I want to be be recognized for this action, or I don't want to be blamed for this thing because I actually didn't do it. It's like, well, yes, but you're more worried about like them than God.
Yeah,
which is so easy to say. So incredibly hard to actually do.
Totally. Oh, totally. Yeah, so suffering in silence, it, to me, is one of the marks of true holiness. People who can do that.
True masculinity.
Yeah, well,
specifically, but like Christ.
Well,
Christ,
if you're a man, but honestly, the people that I, like when I think about people who suffer in silence for years and years, the people that come to my mind are women. Like, I know...
Well, that's, they're holier.
I like long suffering is the, you know, the name of this virtue, and there is a masculinity about
there's Jesus has showed
like
it to
a
us.
real man embraces long suffering and suffers in silence. You know, the fullness of masculinity, certainly this is part of it. But when I think about the people who are best at it, there are actually a number of women who come to mind, mm-hmm. who sit there in the background, mm-hmm. never say a word, right? And it's just something that I'm not very good at. And I have the habit of praying the Litany of Humility on a regular basis. And it's like, man, that the Litany of Humility.
May I desire the things in which I pray, deliver me, Lord.
Yeah, like...
grant me the grace to desire it.
That I might desire that others are, you know, rewarded more than me, like
loved more than me.
Yeah, all the stuff.
Yeah, it's so tough.
And that, like, I don't worry about calumny, which is exactly the story, like the example I was telling.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I was disappointed in myself was not so much that it happened that I was worried about it, but that I told other people that I was. That this was a situation I was in,
right.
And that I was worried about. Like, I could have just kept it to myself.
Right.
I could have
and
just
offered it up.
I could have handled the situation, which I did, and like I think that I handled it well with the right people.
Right.
Okay? But I didn't have to, like, there was a couple days there where I told you about it. I told, like, and like I wasn't posting on Facebook, but like I just didn't need to tell anybody about it. Yeah. You know, I wish in retrospect I had viewed it and recognized it as the opportunity it was to draw close to our Lord,
right.
who was a victim of calumny,
right?
Who, you know, and like just to, because when you have opportunities to suffer like that, it's like it's kind of unique, unusual moments of suffering. If we can recognize them for the gift that they are, we can they can become a big catalyst.
In charity.
Yeah.
For charity.
Yes. And in our relationship with Christ, to have a unique insight into his own passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But if you do like what I did and like, oh, try to alleviate my suffering.
Right.
By like, oh, guys, I'm suffering. Like, I'm being treated unjustly.
This is what
exactly.
I'm terrible
like,
at.
Like, instead of suffering in silence.
Right. And I'm so terrible at this because people will ask me like, hey, how are you doing? Like, how's everything going? And it's like, I'm going okay. Like, very clearly, I'm saying like, that. Like,
there's a follow-up question here.
Right.
Ask me more.
Yeah, because, like, obviously, I'm not the guy who's like, yeah, I'm doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, like, my personality. It's like, yeah, I'm doing great, man. Like, everything's going well. Like, my, you know,
right.
my family.
I'm
like,
crushing it.
Yeah, everything's going awesome, you know. I just need to get better at that.
Yeah. Well, hey, me too.
Ask for forgiveness.
The next one, ask for forgiveness.
That's the next one. Yeah, specifically to your spouse and to your children. There are so many times in which I have failed as a father and a husband, you know, where I just either overreacted or underreacted. Underreacted for me is a really a problem sometimes, where I'm so tired at the end of the day. Like I've been dealing with problems all day long.
Mm.
Like I've been doing, like, putting out fires all day long and problem solving all day. My mental bandwidth is so small right now.
Yeah.
And we get past dinner and like somebody acted up, and instead of me like actually like either disciplining or like having opportunity to instruct or like fulfilling my duties and my vocation as a father to order my children towards the good, the true, and the beautiful, I kind of let it slide. And then almost like look over at my wife like, you're going to handle this?
I need you to do that.
Yeah. And like, that is just such a like a punt as a father and as a husband. And like just, this is just a self-reflection of like so many times where I have to like...
Yeah, because Adam, I never do that. That never happens to me at all.
Yeah, and it's so easy to do.
I never get tired.
Yeah. And it's like so easy to do and so easy to justify.
Yeah. Oh, it totally.
And then like all you're doing is the cross that the Lord has given you and desired for you, you have taken that off your shoulder and placed it on your wife.
Or your children.
Or your children.
Right, because the cross of discipline mostly falls on the husband, on the man, the father, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the lead disciplinarian in the family. And you are the disciplinarian for the benefit of the children, okay? When you, just like what you're saying, when you put that cross aside, it's going to land on someone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yep, maybe your wife and maybe your children in the form of more disordered behavior. Disordered behavior begets disordered behavior. Yep. Disordered behavior begets sin.
Yep.
Okay, at a certain age. Okay, if disordered behavior is allowed to become a habit, it will beget sin.
Yep. And I have found
as your children get older.
I like with my first child, my second child, I was much more on point because I was aware of it, right? And like wanted to make this is the rules of our family, and like, you know, I wanted to make a stance. And as you know, you get more children and it gets more complex.
It does get harder.
And it gets harder. Yeah. And like I have caught myself many of times being like, I just let that go. And I would never let that go. And like, that's just actually a lack of love that I have.
Both of us are the oldest in our family. And like, we both know that, like, what? You know, like looking at younger siblings, like,
right,
what, dad? You would have never let me do that. You know, and
you're right.
Yep. Sometimes that's the way it goes.
And that's actually just a self-reflection of like, maybe you need to like rethink the thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you fail, like, and I've had to do this like countless times to Lady Haley, and like, I probably will countless more. And like, just sit down and be like, hey, you know, Haley, I'm really sorry.
Oh.
I missed that opportunity. I missed that today.
Mm, yeah.
And like, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. Yes. I've had to do that a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, like you were laughing like.
No, I was, I was like, oh yeah. I mean like that. I do that a lot.
Yeah. And then like for our kids, even like,
because it's, yeah, like I'll punt often, whether it's on school housework or
whatever it is, because it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
And then for our children, like, so we were going to Mass the other day, right? And on the way there, every Mass, on the way to Mass, everybody offers like vocally, like, here's the thing in which I'm praying for Mass today. Right, so everybody has an intention going into Mass. Like, this is what I'm going to pray for during Mass. This is what I'm going to offer up to our Lord. Right, so it's like, you know, Luke and Jude and Anna and Leo and John didn't say anything yet. He's still not talking. After, like, he's over one, still not talking. I don't know. So everybody gets something, right?
And, yeah, how's his Latin?
Superb.
Okay.
Incredible, actually.
Good.
According to Scott Hahn, incredible.
So. According to Juan Posada, incredible.
Yeah. But there was a time where, like, you know, on the way to Mass, we're trying to invoke, like, here's our intentions. One of my children, like, says something just silly and not taking it reverently, and, like, I lash out at them, like, no. We are trying to be reverent here. This is, like, and, like, while it's important to do that, I cross the line. And dads know. Like, you know when this you is, cross the
you
line.
You know what? This is one of my things right here that I tend to be overbearing, kind of like sometimes out of no, you know, like, you know, the kids will do something. It's like, wait, like, what? You shouldn't do that. Okay. Right. This is clearly against the rules. But sometimes I've just come across, I'm too strong.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of guilt.
Yeah, and for so doing like that. I had to, like, as we got out of the van, I was like, "You guys go ahead." I pulled the kid aside and said, "You know, hey, Dad overreacted there, and I'm really sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Like I shouldn't have said that to you that way.
Yeah,
but I do want you to take this seriously, and like this is important to do. Like, you know, but like I had to ask for, and like I had to say like." I'm really sorry.
That's, you know what? Hard to do. Like, it's really hard to...
But I think it pays dividends. I think it will pay dividends.
Oh, it definitely does.
Like, long term.
But there's, you know, it almost feels like it's disordered to be apologizing...
Right, to your
child. To your children, right?
But this is the same thing as...
But it isn't. It isn't disordered.
Same thing as a boss. Same thing as a leader, like, in a company or something like that. Right. Like, how much more would your employees respect you if you say, like, hey, you know what? I messed up here.
You acknowledged the fact that you made a mistake.
And, like, right. I'm really sorry about that.
Right. Because if you don't acknowledge the fact that you made a mistake, then all you're doing is inspiring a lack of confidence that, well, he didn't even know he made a mistake. So, like, next time he's probably going to make a mistake, too. But if you... Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, in those moments where I've, like... Been plenty of them where I've had to apologize to my children. It is like, gosh, swallowing pride mm-hmm. to like come down and apologize to this person. And you know, your children typically they just like swarm you with hugs and love afterwards. And
they're actually the best to receive apologies.
Oh, dude, like they just couldn't love you
even more.
And then, like, Dad, you're the best dad in the world.
Right. And it's like, you're right. You know what? You're right.
You're right. Probably.
Most likely.
Yeah. I don't know for a I don't know speaking, for sure, but
odds are
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Last one is just to read good books, and this is something that we've talked about on the show numerous times, and the importance of like where I have found that my prayer life, that my intellectual life, that my like just the way I behave on a day to day basis has changed by being intentional about reading good books.
Yeah. I totally agree. I've made a
push back.
No, I can't. I've made a transformation on this opinion. When we started this podcast, I think if you go back and listen to some of the earlier episodes,
yeah,
I think I was probably making jokes about like, I don't trust people who read books. Like, you know, like
you did.
I don't know. It was a joke I used to make about like. And I also used to have the opinion of look, if I'm going to read a book, I don't have time for fiction. All right. I don't have.
I definitely thought that.
I don't have time for fairy tales. Okay. Yeah. Like,
I guess.
Because I'm an adult man. Okay. Yeah. Like, I read things that matter.
Right.
Like, you know, spiritual works, philosophy.
Right. Which I do love.
Sure. Which you should read.
Yeah.
But my opinion on that has.
And also, I know very little
totally
about.
Changed.
Like, I read it, and it's like, yeah, I don't know what that means.
Oh, in philosophy?
Yeah.
But...
Like, turns out...
But if you... But yeah, exactly. But when you encounter that thing that you don't understand 7, 8, 12, 20 times, and then you like...
How many times, Lord? 7 times.
Exactly. But then, you know, like, you encounter this idea, a concept that you don't understand from, like, authors, different authors from different perspectives, eventually they box it in for you and then right. you like figure it out. But especially like we already mentioned a couple times about your imagination. Imagination is not for children. Children are simply practicing so that
they're just better at it.
No, they're not.
A lot of, I think they are,
but they shouldn't be.
I don't disagree with that.
So what I say is that they're not better at it. Like maybe most of the time they are, but that's just a problem of modernity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That we have entertainment, like go back 100 years before the television, less than 100 years.
What about radio?
No, I think that the radio was still, like you still had to be, it cultivated the imagination.
Okay. I was just curious.
In radio is very similar to reading books out loud, that there's no pictures. You have to see it in your mind, and you have to make, what does that character look like? You don't know. What is, you know, so the television was a giant leap forward in that there were so many things your mind no longer needed to do. That you didn't see, your imagination lost, it was out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it became unemployed in many respects. And so the obviously screen time has just so pervaded everything, because it's our work, it's our entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere, right? You can't go to the gym, you can't go to the barber, you can't get a haircut without screen time. And so I don't even think we realize how little imagination we have. Okay, it kind of,
it's a Plato in the cave.
I'm kind of
surprised to the max.
It kind of makes me surprised that we're still able to innovate new technology at the rate that we do, because I'm convinced that there are great things that would exist that don't. Because
no doubt.
There are the vast majority.
You know
of
why
us,
though? Is it, well, I have a whole theory on this very thing.
Do you?
Yeah, that is only developed this year, so it hasn't been tested.
Right.
But I have read.
You want to test it out right now?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we have time, but I've read a lot of biographies this year, or listened to a lot of biographies on Audible.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really good biographer, Isaac Walterson, I believe is what.
Okay.
It could be it. Walter or Walterson.
You know,
I don't know.
I want to. I have not gotten into the biography scene.
Dude, that's the only
scene.
That's about the only, like.
I know you're like.
I'm
you're,
big.
You're heavy.
I'm heavy into it.
You're deep into
the
world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he's done all these really good biographies on very important people throughout the world. So he has done like biographies on Elon Musk, on Steve Jobs, on Benjamin Franklin.
Has he done? He hasn't done me yet, I don't think.
He has not done you. Yeah, Walter Isaacson. Yeah, I was right. Einstein. Like he's done all these like big biographies on these influential
people. So he did. Yeah, I remember. I know who you're talking about. He did Elon like.
Yeah.
In recent years. Yeah.
And you listen. If you read or listen to it. You realize how sad of a world some of these people live. Mm. Like how sad of a world Steve Jobs actually lived. Because it's
like how
just,
sad of a life you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's just so disordered.
Hmm. That's too bad.
From
doesn't make me want to read it.
Well, actually, it should, because like that way you know what it is like.
What to
because
avoid.
Like the reason why we propelled like some of the technology so much is because people just have dedicated their whole life to that and nothing and neglected everything else in their whole life that they're supposed to like actually do, and they've accustomed themselves to the point of like they're on their deathbed and they're trying to solve the last equation like Einstein, or they're trying to talk about the next iPad, or they're trying to, you know, do these things on their deathbed. It's like, listen, bro, you're about to die. Like when you die.
Hey, forget about it.
Yeah. No one's going to care anymore.
Right.
About like what, like, and so like, it's really helped me to realize like put the important things at the highest priority.
Yeah. Well, I think the most important thing is like innovation, obviously. Like, if we all have healthy imaginations, we will be able to solve problems better.
So hold on. So my whole theory here is that we actually don't have better imaginations. Is that we have a disorder of work and a disorder of priorities in our lives that has yielded better technology. Mm. But not necessarily because of our imagination. But yeah. It's because, like, instead of, like, our imagination that we could put something into, like, 4 or 5 hours, instead we're gonna like, work for 20 hours.
Mm.
And we're going to make it... It's going to happen.
And obviously, there's a difference between problem-solving and imagination. However, having a good imagination is a key, right? Because if you can't think creatively,
right,
then it's going to take you longer to solve problems. But the point I really wanted to make is that, yes, innovation is important in our lives. I just think about my own work my own work professionally, and then at home on my homestead, as I'm building things, and like, well, how do I, like, right now I'm trying to build like a watering system for my pigs, and I'm trying to do it with only things I have on hand, because that's something that's a new deal I'm trying to do at the homestead, is like, no, I'm not buying stuff because there's stuff lying around. Like, I have stumps because, you know, it's like, oh, I need to elevate this water. Okay, well, I have a bunch of stumps here. Maybe I can use that. But the real thing is that it's stifling our own prayer life. That is why we need an imagination. Okay, forget about all the other stuff. If you cannot, you will not be able to enter into the mysteries of the passion if you can't see it. If you can't put yourself there, right? You
can't feel it.
Right, exactly. Like, if while you're praying, you can't, like, do you, like, is like, all right, you're there at the scourging at the pillar. Can you hear his screams? Do you see the blood? Can you feel the energy of the crowd around? You know, like.
Do you see his hands gripping the pillar?
Right.
Like, do you see?
Exactly. Do you, can you get, if you can't, you don't have... obviously not like you would ever be able to come to a real appreciation of the suffering, but if your imagination isn't,
it just yields you, like,
isn't free, right, then you're not going to be able to reach the depths of understanding that the Lord wants for you, because he gave you a capacity for your imagination
to understand it,
and
yep.
He gave it to you so that you could use it, but we have put it to sleep,
right?
You know, so
totally.
Read good books. That, you know, comes back to this. Because, you know what? Like Dickens. I'm reading a Dickens book right now. It's called The Old Curiosity Shop. It's not one of his most popular ones, but Dickens just has a way with characters. What I love about him is that his character development is so rich that when you read a Dickens novel, you really can, it's like you can almost see, because he describes some of the, like, nuances about their like personalities, or like maybe like some of the tics that they have, or like interesting. It's just very clear that in the mind of Charles Dickens, this character was real. Like this isn't somebody who was invented.
This is the same with Tolkien.
Tolkien was that way too, sure. So, like, reading these authors, it just really expands my imagination,
yeah,
and helps in reading good books. Okay, yep. So
whether you're, you know, a 20-something year old, you're old like us, or you're more seasoned, like a grandfather, like, I think, like, if you take these things and really consider, like, am I actually implementing these in my life? Regardless of what stage of life you're in, I think that it could help you become a saint.
It's never too late to start doing these things we're talking about today.
Right. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
You have to cut it off.
No, I just wanted to
take a sip.
Yeah.